It's time for another episode of Tucson Means Business, featuring Tucson's top entrepreneurs and leaders in the business world. And now your host, Mark Bishop.
And welcome once again to another Tucson Means Business, proudly sponsored by the 49ers Golf and Country Club on Tankerville Road, heading east towards Reddington, but you turn right, and there is the famous jewel of the desert, the Rincon Grill, and the wonderful golf course. And, of course, we're here broadcasting from the Stuart Title Studios in Broadway, on Broadway, I should say, and that's where we broadcast from here at Tucson Business Radio X. You know, it is Cancer Awareness Month, and I can't believe it, but the statistics, I've got three guests that are going to share stories with you. And we've got, I had an interview the other day with Dr. Michael Rukum from Northwestern Medicine, and he was sharing with me some of these stats that it's estimated that in 2021, there'll be 104,270 new cases of colon cancer and 45,230 cases of rectal cancer diagnosed in the U.S. Absolutely incredible numbers. How, why, and what? Well, I have a special guest by the name of Kim Adair. Welcome, Kim.
Hi, Mark. How are you today?
I'm well, thank you. And we have Lori Gonzalez. Hi, Lori.
Hi, Mark.
And Molly Bisbee. Hi, Molly.
Hi, Mark.
Thanks for giving me the time and appreciate you coming in to talk about today. I'm going to start with you, Kim, a little bit about you. Spokane, Washington, then you moved to and lived in Boise, Idaho for 22 years. Is that right?
Yes, I did. I spent a good part of my life there. Love Boise.
Boise, Idaho. Okay, your family. Well, you actually owned grocery stores in the early years. Your family did. Is that right?
Yep. Both my great-grandfathers owned grocery stores, one in Scotland and one in Sheridan, Wyoming. Two different great-grandfathers. So it was really in my blood to love working at grocery stores, which I did for many years.
Well, 15 years in the industry, but at 22, looking for an adventure and a chance for a new career, you moved to Armonk, New York. Did I pronounce that correctly?
Yep. Armonk.
As a nanny, right? Initially, yes. But then you met a commercial photographer who you would work for as his agent in New York City. That must have been exciting.
It was very exciting. He was our neighbor. I had no idea what he really did for a living, which was work with lots of famous people and magazine covers and TV guide covers and things like that. It was really exciting.
Well, a bit different. You then went and worked as a flight attendant, which landed you in Colorado, excuse the pun, but where you worked for many years for a magazine newspaper and your own marketing advertising business. Boy, were you busy, huh?
Yeah, kind of just used all the skills that I had developed in New York and pounding Madison Avenue and kind of created my own thing, but contracted with a local newspaper in Golden, Colorado, and worked for a popular magazine in the Jefferson County area. It was really, really fun.
And you did all three at once. Mm-hmm. Very good. Well, you were then 47, and you had a colon cancer diagnosis,
yep.
Correct?
Yep. That's what got me. So, but it ran in my family, but I had actually.
So why did you wait, you know, so long to get your own colon cancer screening if you had a history in your family?
Well, because the guidelines then were to get checked at age 50. But when you have family history, you don't wait for that magic 50. And I had actually had a symptom and had an issue and had gone in to see my primary care physician, who said, you know, you've got a family history for colon cancer. You really need to go ahead and get checked now. And I said, sure, I'll get that done. And he wrote me a little slip, and I stuffed it in my purse and went out and spent a whole year not getting anything done. Went back to him for something else, and he looked at my records, and he said, did you get a colonoscopy? And I said, nope, I didn't get that done yet. So he was really upset with me.
Bet you he was.
Yeah, very upset. He got out of his chair and he said, you need to get your arse in there and get that done. So that's what happened with me. And I'm just lucky that with a symptom all year that I didn't end up in a worse case with my colon cancer.
Colon cancer for Kim Adair. Lori Gonzalez was born and raised Tucson, Arizona, a real local.
Yeah.
You're from a large family that stretches, though, from Chicago to Washington State, right?
I do.
Give us a little background on that.
Well, my dad was born in Chicago, mom in Missouri. Lots of family members. My mom comes from 9 kids. He came from 5. And they moved out here in 1957, started our family. There's 6 kids. And we've all had other kids. And I have 2 grandbabies and 2 amazing children.
Wow. Yeah. I got to say, your family doesn't watch much TV, do they?
Yeah, I don't think so.
You've had a real estate license, Lori, since 2005.
I have.
And in August of 2018, you became employed with Citi as a customer service agent. What does that actually involve?
Well, I'm a customer service agent for the card, Citi Cards, and I just take care of customers' needs for their banking.
You enjoy that?
I do. I really do. I'm just very blessed I was working for them when I was diagnosed.
Well, the pandemic, came on us in March 2020? You began working from home. Did you miss anything?
I missed the camaraderie. I missed my pals at work. But it was surprisingly nice working from home.
It's got benefits.
It does. It really does.
Give me an idea of because there's pluses and minuses, right?
Well, sure.
Give us the pluses from your perspective.
The pluses are getting up and not having to drive in. Having to just cross the hall. And,
do you get out of your pudgies and put on a suit or what?
At first, I tried to just dress like I was supposed to every day, but that kind of got a little more lax as time went on.
So what happened in September?
Well, I have hip arthritis, so I knew, it was getting worse, and I was told I had no choice but to get a hip replacement. So in the meantime, I wanted to get everything done. So I went and got my mammo. Now, my mammo was put off because of COVID. If you had a nickel for every time you said because of COVID.
Yeah, right, yeah. So this is what? This is your annual mammogram?
My annual mammo, and I'm very good at having them every year, but usually in June, but it was put off until September. And so I went in and got my mammo. The following week, they told me that I had a suspicious finding. I needed to have it biopsied. Mm-hmm. So I had it biopsied. And then Monday, they scheduled my hip replacement. Tuesday, I had a call from my doctor saying it was cancer.
This is breast cancer.
Yes. And so I had to get my lumpectomy pretty quick. Mm-hmm. And because I can't be on chemo while I'm getting a hip replacement. So they did the lumpectomy. It came back with an invasive gene. So I had to have another surgery to remove lymph nodes. And then finally, in November, I was able to get my hip replacement.
Wow. So now you're in a pandemic. You're working from home. You have breast cancer. What was going through your mind? I mean, how did you process all of that together?
Well, I kind of did my pity thing and scared thing, and then I just focused on making it my job. It was going to be my full-time job to get well. I have, 2 grandbabies now and 2 kids, and I needed to just make it my journey, and I did, and I just try to stay as positive as I possibly can.
Yeah, from what I'm hearing, for you, Lori, you had to dig deep. You had to find the, silver lining.
I did.
Did you lose your hair?
I lost my hair, and then I had to see that silver lining is I couldn't go anywhere
because of
the pandemic. So I thought, well, hey, what a good time to have.
Yeah, what a great time. Yeah. I can't get out of the house anyway, yeah. So no one's going to see me.
No.
I mean, when you look at it like that, it can be funny.
Right, it is. You got to laugh or you cry.
And then you sort of, said to yourself, well, look, I'm working for a great company. I've got amazing benefits. That allows you to get treatment. I mean,
yes, and time off to get well. Yeah.
So a lot of good stuff there,
yes,
right?
Yes, and then mid pandemic in June, I had My daughter had a grandbaby for him, grandson.
Well, Jack, lovely. Congrats.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
We're going to come back and talk about how you handle things a little more. Third and last but not least, definitely, this lady was born in Galveston, Texas. We won't hold that against her, though, will we? She traveled and lived all over the U.S. Love people that travel, because how can you be a great ambassador for your country if you haven't been anywhere? I know lots of people who sit out their office window and stare and say, I wonder what it's like over there. So, anyway, before settling in Arizona, she'd seen a lot, and she'd graduated Prescott College in 2006 with a BA in psychology and human development. And then she attended the Desert Institute of Healing Arts for 1,000 hours of professional massage programming and training and hands-on and all the rest of it. And she's one of the best in the business. I can vouch for that.
Thank you.
Back in 93. Welcome, welcome, young lady. And this young lady's name is Molly Bisbee, correct?
Yes, thank you, Mark.
When I first heard that, I thought, come on, Bisbee? You know, were your grandparents or great-grandparents from Bisbee? Or?
You know, it's not spelled the same.
No, it is different. I'll give it that.
One of my cousins who does the genealogy in the family claims that there's a connection between Bisbee, Arizona, and us.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it is. Anyway, you know, there's not a lot in my bio on the cancer because I wanted to sort of tell a little story.
Well, yeah, and which I want you to do that, and we're going to get to that. But you're also a certified Reiki master.
I am.
Okay, a certified end-of-life counselor.
I am.
And an amateur, competitive, and recreational cyclist. I mean, you did this for 38 years.
Yes, I'm still doing it.
That's good. So, you know, my question is there, this helped you? Cycling, it's helped you in your life? Is it helping you now?
Cycling is a metaphor for life.
Okay, very good. Now, you included working with the United States Association of Blind Athletes back in 96 and 97 prior to the 96 Atlanta Paralympics.
Correct.
Racing tandem in the 96 track nationals. The 96 Burley Classic Stage Race, and the Women's Tandem Relay at Furnace Creek, 508. That's miles, I take it?
Yes.
Yeah, back in 96. And the Race Across America. Kim, this woman, I mean, she's nearly busier than you. She
wow.
Mixed tandem relay team with two national cycling championships. Good on you, Molly.
And all the tandem races were with blind and visually impaired stokers, the ones on the back.
Isn't that amazing?
Wow.
Were there funds raised during all of this?
The athletes that were associated with USABA had grants and sponsorships.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had to find people who could captain for them. And then they had to actually go to the Olympic Training Center and qualify. And so they were pretty set up, and their big time frame was to get ready and qualify in 95 and 96 and then go to Atlanta in the Paralympics
mm-hmm.
that year.
Yeah, I got to admit, you know, Laurie, I watch the Paralympics, and I get a tear, you know?
Oh, yeah.
I think it's marvelous what they do, absolutely marvelous. Amazing. Talk about motivational. Molly, in 2015-16, you were certified as an end-of-life counselor.
Yes.
You know, adding an older population of chronically ill and actively dying clients to your business. How does one do that business and keep it together? Tell me.
So I got interested in this. My mother passed away. She had cancer. She had lung cancer. And she passed away in 2002. And then a lot of my degree at Prescott College was focusing on elder care, geriatrics, end of life, that sort of subject.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to get a master's in counseling, but I decided I wanted to go to nursing school and become a hospice nurse.
That's a worthy cause.
So I did all the prerequisites and co-requisites for that here in Tucson. And got accepted, but they had a wait list, and it was 3 years long, and I'm not young. So I actually got accepted at Galveston College and decided I'd go home and live there for a couple of years because my dad's still there and he's in his 90s. And so I went and started nursing school there. And the first semester, the end of the first semester, I was diagnosed with breast cancer.
So what have we got? We've got a colon and we've got two breast cancers. Is that right? And thank the Lord, I had nothing for me yet. But my mom, I lost her at 58 with cancer, which was pretty young. And hers actually started womb up through the stomach to the lungs. And we used to take out probably a 5-inch round disc and about a foot long of fluid out of the lungs. It was horrible watching her. She couldn't breathe.
Wow.
You know, and there are so many versions I know of cancer. And for anybody listening today, the reason we're doing this show is it's awareness month. Whether it's correct or whether it's, you know, hey, I've got three lovely ladies sitting here alive, bright, done things with their life. Look at all the things that they've achieved and done and are still doing. You know, we look back at it. We talked about Kim, you waiting for a year. Please advise. And girls, jump in with generic discussion if you like on this, okay? We've done the introductions. What would you advise anybody if they're really scared stiff to find out?
Well, to have a friend knock the crap out of them and say, oh, my God, you have this in your family. You should have been in a year ago. And that's really why I took it further after I was just stupid and ignorant to think that because I had family history that I shouldn't get in earlier like my doctor, good physician, asked me to do. And I really just didn't take it seriously. I didn't want to know anything about colon cancer. My dad had it. My grandma died of it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they were 20 years apart.
Does this sort of linger on your mind, knowing that the family history and the background, as you just mentioned?
Oh,
you know?
Yeah. And that I just, at the time I was raising money for Relay for Life. My girlfriend made all of her girlfriends, who were all small business owners, made us go out, and it was a way for us to all be together and get together. So here we were really, really involved with this organization through American Cancer Society. And at that same time, you know, I walked around with this symptom, which I'll let you know. I had this blood in my stool here and there. It came and went, and it would sometimes, I wouldn't have it for a while. And, you know, I just, when I was a flight attendant, I used to have hemorrhoids. I really just kept that in my mind, that this really wasn't anything. And a lot of people are like that. A lot of people do that, and they just don't. They're too afraid to really face that it might be cancer. So,
That's the biggest, push-off, right?
Yeah, just people
would
are
Would you agree
afraid.
With that, Lori?
Yes, because I do that with... I haven't had a colonoscopy yet, so I need to do that.
And I'm scheduling my breast because of you. I'm
good.
I'm late.
What about you, Molly? I mean, can you add to that?
I think some of the stigma comes from the fact of where it's located in the body for a lot of people.
That makes a lot of sense.
Get a colonoscopy, they're kind of ew, you know,
invasive.
Yes, and I have a lot of friends. It's not an issue for them to go get their mammograms yearly.
Right.
But when you ask them about the colonoscopy, a lot of them are sort of, oh, well, you know.
Yeah, it's sure later. We'll do it later. Or they just, but they're really looking at you and they're really not going to do it.
Yeah.
Some of them.
Wow.
Yeah.
May I ask, how does, where do you start as a woman? I mean, who teaches you and at what age that you need to be looking at this stuff as you get older? You know, for women particularly. Because men aren't going to have mammograms, okay?
There's breast cancer for men, but...
Right.
Yeah, so it's really...
It's not a common thing, is it?
It's not really common, but
it does happen.
More than you think, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Really?
I worked in a mammogram department.
Oh, that's right.
And we had quite a few men come in that had found masses on their breasts. And
Wow, yeah. I never heard of that before.
Yeah, in my circle, I've got a circle of social circle, you know, like media people that, yeah, I have a handful of men that I know.
And mine, had I not waited because of the pandemic, it was new and small. Mm-hmm. Had I gone when I was supposed to in June, it would have been a whole year. It could have grown more or so. There's another silver lining that
I want to ask you, you know, Lori, how has your treatment been for you now then?
It hasn't been easy, but it isn't as bad as I thought. You know, I just kind of kept, maybe I thought it was going to be way worse. So it wasn't easy. But I'm through with the chemo. Then I need radiation, and it's a 99% chance that I'll be fine. 1% chance it'll come back. And if I did nothing, it would be the flip-flop. So I'll take it all day long.
Mm-hmm. Did you dread doing the chemo?
I did.
For what reason?
I was just afraid. I didn't know what was going to happen.
Because of what you hear, stories.
Uh-huh.
Right?
And the movies you watch. And then when my hair fell out, it was weird. That was like the defining moment. Like, oh, man, I'm a cancer patient. It was weird. I was just taking it like, okay, well, this is what I got to do. Mm-hmm, this is my full-time
job. I'm living with it, and it's okay.
Uh-huh. You know? But that kind of made me feel like, oh, wow, this kind of stinks. But you just got to keep moving.
Oh, dear. So, you know, I mean, timing, I mean, it can be everything, can't it? Uh-huh. You seem very positive.
Oh, thanks. I try, because if you're not, you let negative thoughts in your head, you get anxiety, and it's just horrible. Does no one get any good?
Well, you know, the mind is so powerful, it can go the other way. And if you're too negative within yourself and worry is one of the worst things you could ever do, right?
Right.
And if you're doing this jazz all the time, it's going to make it worse for you, isn't it?
Well, sure, it's got to be worse for your health. I mean, I don't think cancer is, you know, I don't know. Who knows if it thrives on negativity, and down the rabbit hole you go, and nobody needs that either.
Well, Marley, you're you did the psychology. What do you think?
You know, for me, I found the lump in my breast. So,
how would you do that, if I may ask? Is this the normal self-testing thing?
No, I wasn't due for a mammogram for another couple of months, but when I was studying, I noticed that I had a little bit of an irritating feeling, you know, as though you had a sleeveless shirt on that was a little too tight, and it was rubbing. And so I went ahead and did my self-check, because it was a few days away from it. I always do it on the first of the month. And I have fibrous cysts in my breast, so I always think I feel something and freak out. And then I wait a few days, and I try it again, and it always feels like the rest of the tissue. So, you know, it's good. So I tried that, thought I felt things, waited, tried it again, didn't feel much. It was okay, but the sensation never went away.
Hmm.
So one day, you know, I'd been a massage therapist for years, and I decided to just use my palpatory skills and reached over, put my left hand on my right breast, and just waited, palpating slowly. It took me about 10 minutes, and I found it, and it was about the size of a pea. And then I went away and came back to it a few hours later, and I could find it again. So that started it.
When you say it like that, is that sort of a test? If you hadn't found it again, what would that have meant?
I might not have done anything, but I knew exactly where it was.
Wow.
And went right back to it because, you know, it's part of what I do when I massage people.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the really great things about that was one of my best friends from high school was a retired RN who still lived in Galveston. And I called her up and I told her, and she said, well, it's not something till it's something. And so I had that person go through every single step of the way with me. And I don't know what I would have done, because there aren't any other women in my family. It's my dad, my brother, who had three sons. Mm-hmm. And so there were no other women. And she was irreplaceable for me. Your support group is irreplaceable for you when you go through this.
That is so true.
Mm-hmm. And they take the place a lot of times of your family. Since I had all men, and it was breast cancer, they had a hard time relating to that, you know, emotionally.
Right. So they don't like to talk about it.
They get embarrassed, you know, when you talk about it. And so I had kind of the inner ring, the A people and then the B people, who could be there for me in certain capacities. And I was never scared, because from the get-go, we know that it wasn't going to kill us that year. You know, if you had mm-hmm. early detection, I was fairly early detection. And maybe not in 5 years, and maybe never.
Mm-hmm.
So you go with that. And I tried to keep, like you said, a positive attitude. I could work. The chemo really didn't, I lost all my hair, but I didn't get really sick with it. And I didn't feel really weak with it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I was still mobile. I could still ride my bike, maybe not as hard, maybe not as far.
Right.
I could still work. And I was thankful for that. It kind of kept me busy.
Kept you busy, kept you active. Is there a timing thing at all from the time you're diagnosed and you're spoken to by your doctor? Is it different for everybody? What I'm really trying to get at is, you just sort of touched on it saying, look, I'm not going to die this year. There may be 5 years. I mean, what do you work towards? How do you know how long you've got or what you need to do? What is there a timing factor that you need to work to?
Well, with breast cancer, there's all kinds of – every cancer patient is different. Every single cancer patient is different, even if you have the same kind of cancer. And for me, what I decided to do was had a genetics test and decided to do the chemotherapy, and as well as the radiation. And then when you get through with that, depending on your age and also what kind of breast cancer you had, you'll probably be asked to take an anti-hormonal for a number of years, either 5 years or 10 years. So it really does go on for quite a while with us.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you shoot for 5 years out.
Yeah.
But there's also women who are taking anti-hormonals for 5 years past that. So you're looking at that. But I think 5 years is kind of a win for you. And there's a 30% chance that women, even in early stages who are diagnosed with breast cancer, will then at some point go on to develop cancer again.
What percentage?
Metastasized breast cancer, 30%. Mm.
Wow, that's kind of high.
Yeah.
They're working on it all the time, aren't they? They're desperately trying find the answers for this. And when we come back, we're going to talk to Kim about how she's taken, her experience out into the world and is doing a marvelous job with what she's raising funds for and how it's all about. We're going to talk about Butt Check. And you're listening to Tucson Means Business, proudly sponsored by the 49ers Golf and Country Club, with the lovely Rincon Grill. Of course, with the pandemic, you know, people are ordering and picking up and so on. But it's sanitized heavily in the restaurant, and there's tons of feet apart with the chairs and so on and tables. You can go in there, just follow the rules. And, of course, there's lots of other things still happening and the wonderful exercising going on. And there is the pool. And the gym, I don't think, is being worked that much at the moment till things are getting, well and truly over. But the golf is on big time. It's outdoors, fresh air. And there's lots of things you can find out. And speaking of the 49ers, we're very grateful. They're our proud sponsor and have been for a couple of years now on Tucson Means Business. And here's a word from them. Tucson Means Business is proudly sponsored by the 49ers Golf and Country Club. They're at 12,000 Tankerville Road. If you're not in Tucson, somewhere around the world, but visiting, sometime you may get here, please go to the 49ers, even if you don't play golf, because there are wonderful things to do, like eat at the fabulous Rincon Grill restaurant. And then there's the fitness center, brand new, with everything that you need. Isn't that right, Casey?
That's right, Mark.
I'm speaking with the director of memberships and tournaments and sales. He's just about chief cook and bottle washer, but he can tell us all about this wonderful fitness club. It's only brand new, really.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of funny you say that. We're really proud of the way that we keep it looking brand new, but it's already 5 years old, that building.
Is it really?
Yep. But
God, you never know that.
We upkeep it. You know, we keep it looking good, looking fresh, smelling good. We try to keep the equipment maintained. Mm-hmm. That's important for people that are coming to a gym. They want to use clean, fresh, well-working equipment.
My word, they do. And one of the important things, I think, with this fitness club is that it's not that you're traditional. I mean, you've got locals coming to it from right across town. There are lots of different separate type events on, aren't there, from fitness type. I can't remember them all, but the lady that runs it does a fabulous job. In fact, there's a few of them get together and create all these different sort of sequences.
They do. They've got a lot of different group fitness classes is kind of what we, you know, I want to say it's kind of a niche market, really. You know, there is lots of gym offerings around, obviously.
Sure.
You know, you got your big box store kind of fitness centers that are, you know, they have hundreds of pieces of equipment. They've got, you know, classes that are scheduled and routine, where ours are unique. You get to know the instructors really well. They're your friends, you know, and then when you
take
don't show up.
Take personal care of you, yeah.
They do, you know. When you don't show up to class, they text you and find out, hey,
you okay?
How come you're not there, you know?
That's a nice idea.
It is. So,
from yoga through to boom bunk this or that, I mean, they do it all.
There is. We offer a little bit of everything. We even, you know, we have kids' dance classes. We even have a woman teaching ballroom dance classes right now. On Wednesday nights right now, we have goat yoga, where you have these little pygmy goats. They dress them up in tutus and they walk on your back. I don't get it, but apparently it's all the rage. So.
Can you imagine that? Dressed up in a tutu, walking on your back. But that's a goat. Oh, it sounds like a lot of fun indeed. And, of course, the one other area is the pool.
Yep, the pool. We have a five-lane Junior Olympic-sized heated year-round pool, which it's tough to find heated water in Tucson in the winter, believe it or not. But we maintain it. We have a youth program that swims year-round. We've also got aqua classes right now on Mondays. We offer them. The pool's just been really a great resource for the club and its members.
That's fabulous. So there you go. You get a really good picture, don't you? But go to the website and, Casey, that address again.
Website is 49ercc.com. It's all spelled out. FORTYNIERCC.com.
You did a good job, man.
Hey, thanks.
Casey Polivchak, lovely fella. Talk to him personally about anything, memberships, the club, whatever you want to do. He's the director of memberships and tournaments at the infamous, which is the hidden jewel of the desert, at the 49ers Golf and Country Club. Proudly bringing us Tucson Means Business. Okay, now I want to ask you this, Kim. We discussed that March is, you know, Colorectal Cancer Awareness Month. So I know that you're heavily involved in doing a tremendous amount of work for this cause. Tell us about that.
Well, when I was lucky enough just to have surgery and not do what these gals did, which is, you know, chemo and radiation and things, you know, instead of going, having that guilt, you know, that, oh, I survived and, you know, and now pretty soon I'm learning that down the road, girlfriends of mine would get different kinds of cancers. I just got out. I remember my sister picked me up at the hospital, and I went out halfway to where the car was, and I just dropped my knees. And I, you know, I'm not super religious these days, but I just said, oh, my God, I have colon gods. And I just said, oh, my God, I'm so grateful. And I want to do something about making sure that everyone around me gets all their cancer screenings, because I had felt so stupid that I, you know, really ignorant that I had let mine go with my family history. So I was in my pajamas, and my sister take me to my office downtown Golden, Colorado, and I walked over to the really old drugstore down the street, and there was Peter Coors of Coors Beer. He would go in every day and get a card, and I go, "Hey, Peter," and he'd go, "Hi, Kim," and I said, "Hey, you know, you need to get your butt checked." And he said, "What?" He did not know that I was in the hospital, but a lot of people in my little town of Golden had known that. So the story is pretty sweet. The mayor knocked on my door one day, and I had done the same thing to him. I'd said, "Hey, Mayor Chuck, you need to get your butt checked." And, you know, 2 weeks later, he came to my door, and he was white as a sheet. He knocked, and he says, "Oh, my gosh, Kim, my son is in the hospital right now at a young age, and he's getting the same surgery you had for colon cancer, and I just scheduled my butt check." So when he said that, I went, boom, that's it. That's, you know, what I got to do something with that phrase. So on a napkin with a girlfriend over a margarita.
Or two.
And I'm still, you know, recovering.
Were you allowed to drink in recovery?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I didn't have chemo. I didn't have anything, you know.
You were spoiled then, weren't you?
Yeah.
You were lucky.
I felt way lucky.
All right. But so you're with a napkin, and we're having margaritas.
I'm with a napkin. I'm with a girlfriend, and she said, "You've got to do something. You've got to really do this fast. And you work for a magazine. You work for a newspaper. Create something." So we fooled around, and we both worked on a little logo, and my logo's now seen around the world. It's a little W with a check. And I said, "That's it." And then she said, "You have to call it butt check. You've been walking around saying that." And I said, "I don't know. You know, I've got a really conservative job with a magazine and newspaper. I don't know." And she goes, "No, just do it." So that's when Katie Couric was coming to town for a fundraiser, right as she was getting ready to do her CBS job. And so I went to town, and I had the magazine to put my story in. So I got a picture with me with Katie and wrote my story, which I still use today about, you know, not getting in and getting this done. So that's kind of what I started.
So where did the Broncos come into it?
Oh, well, we're all close little knit group of people in Colorado. And I knew a Bronco, a former linebacker, Dave Sitton, and he had an office around the corner from me, and he had prostate cancer. And I started realizing and looking for people around me that had cancer, that had survived it or was getting it. Yeah. I didn't pay attention to that before.
So really you started becoming an advocate for cancer awareness.
I started really paying attention. Mm-hmm. So he asked me to come over to his office. We sat down. He goes, "You know, man, I'm lucky, and I really had it bad, and it really scared me. And I want to do something for you, Kim. What can I do?" And I said, "Why don't you bring the guys together? Let's do a little kick cancer campaign so I can put it in the magazine." So I had a full page in the magazine, me with eight famous former Broncos and their names on each little football. And I created the ad, and then our graphics people and put it together. So I created the entire ad, and people thought I was fake standing there. I had a little football. I went to the drugstore and got a little football. And I had my logo on the shirt, and it was just really cool that I just did everything really fast, didn't think about it. And I got a lot of run with that kick cancer campaign with the Broncos, and they're committed to helping me raise funds
for
butt check. Mm. So we'll be redoing that campaign sometime soon. So,
that's great. So you see, the thing took legs and took off, didn't it?
I just took off with it. I just didn't stop.
Or grew legs, I should say.
Yeah, I just, and it really had to do with the fact that I was in marketing and advertising, and I could do a lot with it.
That helps.
Yeah.
That helps.
It was super exciting.
Marley, I want to ask you, just going back to I mean, you're doing massage, but what's it like to massage disabled athletes?
You know, I was a little hesitant at first, but the primary focus of my massage practice is athletes. I do sports massage and deep tissue trigger point work and rehabilitation
and work on chronic pain people.
Mm-hmm.
So what was interesting were the amputees. What was interesting was the folks who, well, the blind people are just like us, but they can't see. So their disability is not something that physically, you know, causes them issues. The amputees were really what I loved working on. I loved working on those people. And I also loved working on some of the people who had spinal cord injuries and were paralyzed, either paraplegics or quadriplegics. They're athletes, just like all the other athletes that I worked on. They aspired to be Olympians or Paralympians, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the most inspiring thing for me as a massage therapist working on them. I've kept in touch with a lot of my little blind and visually impaired athletes. There's many funny stories that we could tell. A lot of them ended up here in Tucson because three of my cycling buddies were picked to captain three of the USABA blind athletes. So a lot of stuff happened here, a lot of training here. And then we all went up to Colorado Springs to the Olympic Training Center so they could see if they could qualify for the Paralympics.
Mm. Well, you've worked on professional athletes, too.
I have. Spring training used to be here, and I worked on a lot of baseball players.
Yeah, that was big, wasn't it, in Tucson,
spring training,
for a lot of different reasons.
Right.
But it's missed, I think, big time.
Yeah.
You know.
Yes.
What's it like, Molly, you know, I mean, you do a lot with younger people and so on, but working on older people, how different is it to younger people?
It's really different. And I would like to delineate between older people and older athletes.
Okay.
Because I have a friend who did a radio podcast with a cluster of my older athletes. I had a 70-year-old cyclist who had ridden the Race Across America course the following year in 2011 when he was 70 years old, and a couple of his friends came. We took 6 weeks, and I was their soigneur, so I drove the van and did the massage and slept all their luggage and everything. And then there was a 75-year-old woman who was a snowbird, a friend of a friend, and we hooked up to do some hiking. She wanted to do Finger Rock because she didn't feel like she'd be able to do it at another time, and I thought, this should be easy, even though I'd never really hiked much. And she kicked my ass up and down every hike we ever did. She was from Bozeman, Montana, a retired nurse who had actually founded their, emergency response team there to go out and look for people that were lost or in the snow in the wintertime.
Oh, cool.
And then there was a couple who, he was a banker and she was a teacher, and they decided he'd run some marathons. But they decided when they retired, they wanted to do Ironman distance triathlons. And she was a tiger. She was a monster. At 65, she'd probably been to Kona 8 times.
Wow.
And that's one where you have to qualify.
Wow.
And he'd been a few times. So I got them all together, and they did a radio podcast as older athletes. Now, the difference between working on someone like that was exactly what my friend Ron told me. In the end, he would ask him, so are you on any medications? And these are 70, 75-year-old people, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
None of them took anything but aspirin. Now, when you look at older people who aren't active like that, there's any one of a number of comorbidities that are going on for those people.
Wow.
And it starts to change. If you haven't been active, you really start to see it. There's mm-hmm. a big difference between older people who haven't been active and older people who have most of their lives.
Right.
Well, Marley, you've seen a lot too, you know, a lot of experience. Cancer Awareness Month is nearly over, March, the Ides of March, as they say. But incredible stories. And everybody knows this particular lady, and I just thought she's starting something pretty nice, and it was good of Kim to let me know about this. Have a listen.
As many of you all know, March is National Colorectal Cancer Awareness Month, a month that is very near and dear to my heart. But so many people have been putting off screening, and everyone needs to make an appointment with the doctor. Talk about screening that's right for you. I'm teaming up with Exact Sciences to make sure that everybody gets this important message, because colorectal cancer is the number two cancer killer of men and women combined in this country. But it is so preventable if it's detected early. So we're using the hashtag #IGetScreenedFor so you can share the people you care about, the people you want to stay healthy for, the people in your life who I'm sure want you to be around for a very long time. So I'll start first. I get screened for, well, really, my daughters, Ellie and Carrie, because they have a single mom, a married mom now, but they didn't have a dad growing up. And I want to make sure they have a mom for a very long time. I can't wait to hear who you get screened for. So record your messages, send them to me, and I'll post them on social media. So everybody, take part in this great campaign and definitely get screened.
Well, we're broadcasting live, of course, but this is a podcast that will stick around for a long time and on the site. And I'm not sure that went out live or I even recorded it for that matter. I got a technical hitch here, but never mind. This is the beauty of podcasting. I'll get that put into it and it'll be in the show. But interesting, it's a good promotion.
Yeah. I just saw it yesterday, and people were, as soon as Katie let that go, all my social media people that are in the cancer world, all the survivors around the country, were using the hashtag, getting it out there. So this is because it is Colorectal Cancer Awareness Month. So.
Yeah, I know it's colorectal, but at the same token, it's really all cancer, isn't it?
Well, when you ladies were talking, I'm 63 right now, and it dawned on me that on my other side of the family, my mother had breast cancer at 63. So I am getting in from, I'm going to go get home and I'm going to call and get my screening because I'm way late in getting that done. But, you know, cancer... she's shaking her finger at me. I'm out there bugging everybody.
I know. But listen, you're doing a damn good job. I found this in my research about you. I have a note, actually. It's fashion designer and colon cancer survivor, Carmen Mark Velvo. Hi, Kim. In regard to my most recent post, I wanted to thank you for all you do with cancer research. For you and I, we're emphatically empowered by these things. Our job now, and has been since, is to share our stories, because research funding comes from the sympathetic heart. Mm-hmm. Be encouraged today. You're doing all the right things. And his website, by the way, is CarmenMarkCalvo.com, www.CarmenMarkCalvo.com. Calvo.com, all one word. Yeah, that's a nice little thing for you there.
Yeah, it's really sweet.
So listen, butt check, we haven't got a lot of time left. Give me a quick roundup of what people can do if they've heard this, they want to get involved maybe. What's happening with butt check? Where's it going now? Here in Tucson, what could be done?
Well, it took me 12 years and a lot of challenges, but Butt Check is officially a nonprofit. I'm very proud of that. It happened right before my birthday that my big lawyers, I call them my big arse lawyers, got it done for me. And so I've been involved, though, for 12 years with all the major colorectal cancer organizations, big and small around the country. So I feel like I can finally officially play with the big dogs and little dogs
as well.
That's
good. Now, that is what, a 503C?
Yeah. So I'm an official 501c3.
Yeah. C3.
And they can just contact me. I'm on Facebook a lot. And our website actually will be up here in a week, our launch page. It'll have a donation button. I will be raising, or my team will be raising money, funds for research in our own backyard. So I thought that was important that we did that for our world-class research right here.
And you know that right here with my Tucson Business Radio, if anything I can do to help, you got it. Not a problem.
Well, you're part of my advisory board,
so,
right?
So we got to do something. We got to get it out there. We can help.
Thank you.
Lori Gonzalez, I'm going to ask you, what's the best advice that you can give to anybody listening who may be in a similar situation?
I would say just stay as positive as you can and make it your full-time job to get better. I keep saying that, I know, but also friends are always, they come around and they're so good to help. I have a hard time with saying yes, but let them help because it's so much, it helps so much to have friends come around and just be there for you. Mm-hmm. So
a lot easier than what it is trying to go through it alone. Huh?
Yeah, it sure is.
Molly, do you, what are your plans for massage? I mean, once you get back to work fully, you're recovering. How do you feel?
I feel great. I'm, 5 years out mm-hmm. from the cancer. But the issue now is the pandemic.
It was not one thing, it's another, right?
Well, it's awfully hard to feel like you're being safe doing massage in a small room with another person.
Mm-hmm. But you wear a mask.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. And they wear a mask. I mean, you can't get it by just rubbing somebody or touching them.
No.
You know, that's the thing. And guess what? I've been there. I've had COVID now. I was down for 6 weeks. My wife and I went down the same time. And we were super careful, masks everywhere, never went out, went shopping only.
Yeah.
You know, and they're saying that's the biggest. Doesn't matter where you go. I'm not going to mention any supermarket, but look, or any brand, but it's just so difficult to cover everything. If you think you've got that and they're doing, they're sanitizing the baskets and so on, you still put your fingers on the money thing when you put your mm-hmm. card in and the this and the that. You just don't know. But you've got to sanitize the hands mm-hmm. as soon as you can. And I do. I get home and, use the old soap and the hot water and so on and then go from there. But you've been through it. Molly, what would you say to anybody that's listening?
Again, let people help you. Mm-hmm. And then pay it forward.
Right.
I've never stopped. The work that I do with end-of-life counseling is, unfortunately, all of us don't make it. Mm-hmm. And that's why I went into that. I could never finish my nursing. And so I had someone tell me to look into the end-of-life counseling, or death doula is another name for it that people aren't real familiar with. And I did a certification course with a RN who has a program. It's not a licensed job right now, but you do get certified. And she's a hospice nurse for 35 years, and most of her work was with end-of-life. And that's one of the ways that I pay it forward. That and really bugging people about getting their cancer checks done in a timely manner.
Yes, ma'am.
I don't know. All you buggers, fair dinkum, between you and Kim, thank God you are bugging people, you know. Well, do you feel embarrassed if you bring it up to anybody?
No.
No.
Get the tatas checked.
And get the other end.
Now I have
the booty.
Get the tatas and the butt checked.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Get your booty checked. But truly, to bug each other, it's really true. It's like, get it done. I have a tattoo. It's not little either. It says, get her done.
Well, and today you've got this, who is sponsoring you now, Kim, that you're heavily involved with, Colaguard.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you've got this opportunity in the privacy of your own home. Right?
Yeah.
One doesn't have to go and get that thing jammed up here, right?
If
you don't want
Mark
to.
Mark just ordered. You just got it through your doctor. You have to get it through your doctor.
Yeah. I thought, what the heck? Why not? I'm 105. I've never had it done.
So I said, so Mark, would you get, when you get your box, make sure and take a picture of you with the box, because that's me. I'm the picture. I'm the picture whore. A significant other calls me that, but it's appropriate because, get that picture so we can promote it. So we will.
Any big events coming up you want to promote?
Well, soon? I do. I'm planning an event in Main Gate Square with the Marshall Foundation, which will allow me to have the courtyard. There's a Starbucks and all the stores right there that lead right into the university. So hopefully I'm shooting for later part of May to have an event there to kind of bring everybody together. I also have Women Under the Sun as my little social networking group that will help me put it all together. So we'll make sure you're all invited. And,
that's fantastic.
Put the word all out right. for that.
So look out for the best thing for listeners really is, of course, this show will stay on the site, TucsonBusinessRadio.com. You can go to it any time and you'll be able to, the replay. But, of course, it goes out to all the major podcast platforms, being Apple Podcasts and Google and Spotify and so on. And you can find the show there and go over things if you like to. There'll be photographs of the guests for today. I'm very grateful to you all. Took a bit of courage. It was lovely of you. And I thank the 49ers Golf and Country Club for being a wonderful sponsor. Yours truly, Mark Bishop, hoping you enjoyed the show today of Tucson Means Business. A little different, but I think it's well worthwhile. And I'd like to thank Kim Adair.
Thank you.
You're most welcome, Laurie Gonzalez.
Thank you.
And Molly Bisbee.
Thank you for the invite.
You're most welcome.
Thank you, Mark.
Yes.